This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. There have been many twists and turns in the Colosseum fraud case since indictments were handed down last fall. Those cases are mostly still up in the air, and now there's a civil lawsuit, too. GLT's Ryan Denham has been following the case and periodically joins us on Sound Ideas for a status check. Ryan, thanks for stopping by the show.
Sure thing, Mike.
There are five criminal cases against five defendants, plus John Butler's civil lawsuit against the city. That means a lot of court filings. What makes the latest one different?
That's true. There have been a lot of filings. We've done a lot of stories on these cases. I can understand why there'd be a little bit of fatigue in that. I think this one is worth paying attention to, though. This is the first time that anyone's really laid out the inner workings of this alleged scheme. The bills of indictment that came back last fall that we all reported on, they were kind of light on the actual details of what was going on. And because they went before a grand jury to get indictments, prosecutors didn't really need to spell out the nitty-gritty of the case. So this filing that we're talking about today was made by the city. It was a part of the civil lawsuit that's been filed against the city by John Butler. He is kind of the top former manager of the Colosseum, now an arena it's called. And this filing was in response to his lawsuit. And the city is basically saying, not only do we not owe you money, John, for unpaid commissions, but here's all the ways that you allegedly conned us out of money that you owe us.
Sort of a defensive counterpunch, it sounds like.
Exactly.
So what exactly, can you refresh us on exactly what John Butler and the other defendants are accused of doing?
Sure. So back in March of 2016, this is almost exactly 2 years ago, John Butler's Central Illinois Arena Management, or SIAM, was running the arena. The city and SIAM failed to reach an agreement, and so John Butler's 10-year contract of running the arena runs out. It expires. And the city wanted more transparency in its new contract. You know, there was a new city manager and a new mayor since it was crafted, so they wanted some new stuff. They couldn't reach a deal. New managers of the arena are hired. It's Venue Works. Soon after, someone there finds financial discrepancies and alerts the city to that. And the city calls the police. 16 months later, indictments against five former arena managers, including John Butler, 111 counts total. Since then, charges against one of those people have been dismissed. That's Bart Rogers. He's the former general manager at the arena. I kind of think of him as John Butler's number two. Those charges were dismissed for technical, like legal reasons. There was a statute of limitations issue that popped up. The bills of indictments were too vague. All those other cases are pending, and all the defendants have pleaded not guilty.
Is Bart Rogers free and clear at this point, as far as you understand it?
Well, it's possible that prosecutors could re-indict him. That's certainly on the table.
So what did we learn about how the alleged scheme actually worked?
So this court filing last week pulled back the curtain a bit. I'll give a couple of examples here. So John Butler's company, SIAM, was required to pay the city between a 32% and 42% commission on food and beverage sales at the arena. You buy a beer, pretzel, whatever. The city would get a smaller cut for food and beverage that was being sold through the suites or through catering. The city is now claiming that John Butler's company deliberately misclassified sales as being suite or catering sales when they were actually just like the regular kind of beers and pretzels that were being sold that should have sent the city more money.
So about half the commission that was supposed to go to the city was going.
Yeah, thereabouts.
Yeah.
So to keep track of the alleged scheme, the city is claiming that the John Butler's company actually maintained like an internal secret document that was used to calculate these kind of phony commissions that were going to deprive the city of money. So the city says this internal document existed, but it never knew about it, not until these new managers at Venue Works came in. Another claim is that John Butler's company was working with his sister company, a food and beverage thing, to basically alter concession sales that were coming out of the literal point of sale machines that you might see if you're like buying a beer or pretzel. Another accusation against John Butler's company, which is interesting, is that Butler's accused of using money from the city's Colosseum fund, which is really meant for like operating expenses, to pay his own attorneys, including during the contract renegotiation period, right at the end of his time there. So if true, what that would mean is that the city was unknowingly paying a lawyer to negotiate against itself.
There's a pretty stunning claim in there about cleaning supplies. What's that all about?
It's kind of interesting, yeah. So in 2011, the city reimbursed John Butler's food and beverage company, BMI, after it bought a bunch of cleaning equipment. But then BMI allegedly rented the city paid for cleaning equipment to SIAM, Butler's other company. So both those companies are owned by the same person. So the city is claiming that Siam would then bill the city as an operating expense for renting this cleaning equipment, even though the city had already paid for the equipment in full. So effectively, Siam billed the city to rent its own equipment. That's the accusation.
Based on these allegations, what's an example of how Butler was personally enriching himself? How did he line his own pockets?
So allegedly...
Allegedly,
yeah. I mean, these are all just accusations at this point. Lots of questions still. So one of these episodes that really stands out to me took place in March of 2016. Again, this is right as John Butler's contract with the city is about to end. He's about to leave. So days after John Butler walked away from negotiations with the city on reaching a new agreement, just like literally 3 days later, he allegedly tells the city that the Coliseum is a big cash flow problem. There's a $240,000 shortfall. Without the money, the Coliseum would not be able to pay utilities and payroll. So the city gives him this money. And now the city in its new filing is saying that Butler essentially pocketed $150,000 of that money into personal bank accounts, making like three transactions and moving it into his personal accounts, and never really paid the full utility bill that was owed. So, you know, weeks after this, the Butler's city contract expired, VenueWorks comes in. So the question is, like, why did the city do this? You know, it's a city building, so the city needs to pay for stuff. Still, by this time, the city already had some concerns about its visibility into the Coliseum's finances. Maybe they weren't thinking, you know, fraud yet, but they still had questions, so it certainly is an interesting move.
So did the city end up paying utility bills twice then, in effect, or do we know?
We don't really know, but if utilities got paid, yeah, they would have.
Yeah. So you've done some reporting on the other side of this, the city of Bloomington and the oversight it provided to the arena during this time. Why did it file this new document in court?
So this filing, again, is on the civil side of this whole case, even though it does reveal stuff about the criminal allegations. That civil lawsuit, as a reminder, is over allegedly unpaid commissions that Butler says the city owes to him. City says, no, we don't. And even if we did, the contracts that you signed with all these sponsors and advertisers, we didn't sign off on them, and we renegotiated them anyway after VenueWorks came in. But now the city has filed this counterclaim, meaning it's seeking money from Butler, too, this 14-count countersuit. Against Butler is accusing him of like breach of contract, civil conspiracy, all that stuff. The city says it originally intended to wait for the criminal cases to kind of play out before seeking civil penalties, but in light of Butler's lawsuit against the city, they accelerated the plan.
So what does Butler and his attorneys have to say about all of this?
Well, on the criminal side, they've pleaded not guilty across the board, same with the other three defendants who have cases outstanding. The defense appears to be arguing that this is still a civil contract dispute, not a criminal matter. If the city had concerns about the flow of money, they should have pursued arbitration, not called the cops. Also, the defense says that Butler relied on the accuracy of the city's own annual audits of the Coliseum. If those didn't find anything, how would Butler know something was wrong? So we'll have to wait and see how that all kind of plays out.
So what's next?
Civil lawsuit goes back to court in the summer in July. Criminal cases are still pending. Notably, prosecutors have seen some staff shakeups that may be coming down the pike that may impact the case. Jason Chambers, state's attorney, has applied to become a judge. His first assistant, Adam Grist, is one of the lead prosecutors in the case, and he's leaving for a job in the federal U.S. attorney's office.
Ryan Denham is the digital content director at GLT. He's been covering the Coliseum fraud case. You can read more of this story now at WGLT.org. Ryan, thanks for stopping by Sound Ideas.
Thanks, Mike.